Anyway, we left off on 1 Peter 2:21, which is where we're picking up today. It says, well, after he had talked about suffering and going through some stuff and the cost of being a Christian when times get hard. Well, this is really dealing with when times get hard as a Christian. Not just personal hard, but the big picture hard. And boy, it's hard for us to keep this in perspective because we don't get it. I don't really have anything to relate this to. As far as not being a Christian here, I think would be harder than being a Christian here at times. Maybe not so much now, but especially when I was younger. It was the norm. It was what is expected of you. It was how you were supposed to be. Whether you were or not, as long as you wore the title. And in a way, that's where it's easy to be a Christian may be more dangerous to Christianity than where it's hard to be a Christian, because then you have a whole bunch of people running around with the title doing things and saying things that aren't Christian, which just dilutes the whole thing and causes damage. I am not asking for hard times. I'm just saying it's a reality that we have to be aware of when we read this.
You ask for a revival. You're asking
Amen.
For hard times.
You are. I don't know any other way to put it.
So when it gets really bad, we all know who to
do. Yes.
Yeah, well,
when the economy collapses and we're in war and global warming overwhelms us, there'll be a picture of me praying for revival.
Right.
It's this guy's fault. And then I'll have an understanding of what this means.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, some of the greatest, and what you're saying this already, but some of the greatest growth of the church has been
always
during very, very hard times.
Bad times, yeah.
Yeah. As I'll say it again, one of the greatest lines I've ever read from secular writing was Melville's "Faith is a jackal that feeds among the tombs," from Moby Dick. Think it through. Yep. Verse 21, 4, relating us back to what he just said, because I said this is true, you have been called for this purpose. Pay attention. God is telling you what he has called you for, since Christ also suffered for you. Leave an example for you to follow in his footsteps. That's not your usual evangelical message. Let's state this plainly. You have been called by God to pay a price for the salvation of this world and for your own sanctification. You have been called to suffer, to be challenged. It is in the paying of a price that the world sees its value and their value to you. Without you willing to pay a price for what you believe, they will have no reason to believe what you believe. They will have no reason to validate anything that you say. And when it starts to cost you something, then they look and say, this must really mean something to that person. Maybe I should. I know I do it. Make your case clearly and respectfully. Then be still and know that he is God. Let him do what he does. We are called to suffer simply because how we suffer is a powerful witness. It is the truth. It says, you have been called for this purpose since Christ also suffered for you. Wow. It's not like Jesus didn't walk this way before us. In other words, he's not asking us to do anything he did not do.
But he was divine.
Yeah, and what he said, I will be with you. I will walk with you. There's nowhere you're going. I'm not going. And as always, remember this, there is nothing that he has called us to do that he has not done.
That's one of the most scary things to pray is, please make me more like you.
Yep.
Yeah.
I pray that, and then I feel this little,
but don't make it hurt.
Yeah. Is there an easy way? Yeah.
And then I add, well, you know my limitations.
Yeah, right.
Please keep them in mind.
He will not test you beyond what you can handle.
Yeah.
He will not take you where you were, where you will just fall apart. He will see to that you're not sifted like wheat, is what he tells Peter. I mean, realize the guy who wrote this, what he went through. I mean, let's flash back to that horrible moment. I will never betray you. I mean, meaning it with all of his heart. I mean, proclaiming it in front of everybody. And Jesus just looks at him and says, oh, dude, you're gonna. Yeah, you will. But, and it says Satan has demanded to sift you like, Satan already knows what he's going to do. Because, well, he knows it because Jesus said it, and if Jesus said it, it's going to happen.
Well, when those guards came, and they were very scary, I mean.
You know what's, that is neat. Those, wow. I talked about this before, but please keep this in your mind. how we all work. We all make proclamations about what we'll do or not do. You know, you'll see things happen on the news. You say, well, I would have done this. And you don't know until you're there.
Yeah.
You don't know. And what you've done this time may not be what you do next time. I mean, I've been in all those situations multiple times. And I learned to just shut up and whatever's been in front of me, do it the best you can. And make no proclamations. Just do what you can do.
But a lot of people forget that when Peter was, like, denying things. I mean, those guards were scary. They had...
That was adrenaline speaking in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Adrenaline rushing through his system.
When the guards came with their swords...
I know. Really.
He manned up. He drew his sword out and attacked... He's a fisherman who attacked soldiers.
Yeah.
Police officers, basically, because they were the guards from the temple, and the Romans were there, too. But who he was dealing with were the temple guards. And... Which goes back to the person who he did fall in front of, the person whose ear he cut off was her relative. This is really tied together.
Okay.
Yeah, Scripture says that. In the midst of that, and think this through, because Jesus is standing right there beside him, and boy, this will help your life. He pulls out a sword and attacks trained soldiers. This one you ain't winning, buddy. This is like Rodney King stuff. You're going to get beaten. I mean, they ain't going to take this to heart. And Jesus steps in and stops. And it's in front of a little girl that he says, I don't know him. Because now he knows. He sees where Jesus is. He's separated from him. And he sees what's happening. And it's not an instant, well, I'll die with you. Now it's... In that time period between those two things, who and what you are is exposed to twice. Because you are both those things. And neither of those things was right. Neither of those things was right. The first one, Jesus said, what are you doing? Put that away. The time for that is over. Yeah, I could have handled this. How long have you been with me? And you think I need your help with this, you know? And he sort of gets rebuked for that. And then he himself hears his own words say, I would never do that. And then he hears himself do it. I don't know if faith can be challenged more than that, where you sit and say, I don't believe it because you're scared. Jesus said, I know this is going to happen. And what I'm saying is, in the end, you are going to be stronger. Now, since this guy knows what he's talking about, he lived this. And he's also faced persecution all the way through. And he's actually very close to being martyred here. He's writing about the persecution that kills him. So these aren't idle words. This isn't theology from an ivory tower. This is theology from the heart of what's happening. And
he wanted to build his church on Peter.
Amen.
His rock.
Amen. And
this was not the time.
And if you want to connect those two things together, and you could... Look at that, say you are Peter Petros and a big rock, part of the rock and all that stuff. And upon what you said, I will build the church. But he was the only one saying it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I give him credit for that. Us as Protestants try very hard to make that go away because the Catholics use it to make him a pope. And we can't have that. But there is still some real power in what he said to Peter. And that gets fed into when... Peter fails, and Jesus is telling him he's going to fail. There's that little line that says, you're going to fail me. Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat already. You haven't failed yet, and he's already asking for you to let me... Hey, he's choosing me. Let him do what I want to do. In other words, he wants to do to him what he did to Judas. I want to do with him what I did to Judas. He said, but I have interceded for you. And that's the difference between him and who does he belong to? He belongs to Jesus, not to Satan. So I interceded for you. And it says...
Three times he redeemed him.
Amen. And the most important part is, it says, when you have turned... What a little line that's right in there. You will bless your brothers. So, he's telling him, you're going to have a horrible defeat. I'm going to be there to get you through the defeat. And out of these ashes of your defeat will come blessing. And we're getting the blessing now. When he said, you will bless your brothers, this letter is it. This is part of it. Not only was he a strong leader of the church, these letters came from that. I mean, this is him blessing his brothers throughout the ages.
We're reading it.
Yeah, we're reading it right now.
I'm just trying to imagine how absolutely horrific he must have felt when he denied it.
I can't even... After seeing what he saw, after living 3 years with that truth, with that power, the truth more than anything, you know, just answering every question absolutely the right way. You know what I mean? There was nothing that Jesus was asked that he didn't know. And you start to realize that after a while. This guy knows his stuff, you know. And he's the one who proclaims, you're the Son of God. And he really believed that. So what he's saying is, I didn't just betray a friend. I betrayed the Son of God.
Yeah.
And I know I did.
Just being faced with his own weakness that way must have been really humbling.
Well, every time I sin, do I not do that?
Yeah.
Hang him back up on the cross.
Amen. Do I not betray the Son of God? Every time I sin, what I'm saying is, you're not God. I don't have to listen to you. I can do whatever I want. I choose to do whatever I want. That hurts. So I'm dealing with that quite a bit. And this is Jesus' application to this, that he understands us. John 10, 30-32. And this is talking about, remember we had just read where it says, you know, there is no glory in this for the kingdom if you suffer for doing wrong. Only if you suffer for doing right.
Right.
Then it's a witness. Then people see it and say, wow. In John 10, 30-32, it says, I and the Father are one. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him because he basically said, I'm God. Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from the Father. In other words, I proved who I am. I raised the dead. You know, I healed the blind. You saw it, you know. For which of them are you stoning me? I proved it. I did all these good things. What good thing did I do that you want to kill me for?
They said, but for blasphemy.
Yeah. And but he's saying, it can't be blasphemy. I proved it. Because I've done the things that only God could do.
Right.
So here's the proof. They're all good things. Yeah. So what he's saying is, I am being punished for doing good. I often, whenever I hear they wanted to stone him, there's a couple times where it said they wanted to stone him and he just walked away. I always go back to what I read last week from the pulpit about if the people are quiet, these stones themselves will cry out. I wonder when they picked up the stones, if those stones are aware. Like, nah, that ain't happening. Throw something else, pal. I think there's an old hymn about that he planted the tree that he died on, you know, which gives you a connection to everything. It knew its purpose, you know. I'm just digressing there. Psalms 109, 2-5. For they have opened the wicked and deceitful mouth against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without cause. In return for my love, they acted as my accusers, but I am in prayer. Thus they have repaid me evil for good and hatred for my love. And, that's prophecy of Jesus Christ, and it is exactly how it happened.
Which verse is it?
That's Psalms 109, 2-5. And David's life is a bit of a mirror of Jesus Christ. And if you want to spend some time doing something interesting, take a look at that. Verse 22, and it's going on about Christ, who says, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. What they're saying is, we have no complaint before Christ. When these things happen to us, when we are challenged by the world or by the quote-unquote church, because, trust me, the quote-unquote church has done as much persecution of Christians as anybody. I mean, honestly. None of us is innocent as he was, and yet he endured personal injustice and mistreatment. Why? For our sake. Because we matter. We are to do the same for others. This is loving your neighbor as you love yourself. That is ultimately how you, well, do I love my neighbors? Well, if you're willing to suffer for them, you do. And suffering is a broad word. There's a whole lot of things that could be suffering.
Are you including when they hurt you and they hate you?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what it says. Well, I mean, if I stole their pizza when it came, okay, I guess I could see them hating me. If it's just because of who you are and what you represent, we get a little more sophisticated about it. This will show up like unvarnished in like junior high school when we don't know how to hate somebody with class, you know, where we just do it ugly, you know, and it just shows up. When you refuse to join in with them, with the things they're doing, when you refuse to get high, when you refuse to go vandalize, when you refuse to, you know, do all the things that...
That's how I got my nickname.
It is.
They were trying to torment me with that
nickname. Right. Yeah. And they're merciless.
Yeah.
And...
What about things like today's hate crimes? I mean, those people who do horrible things against people, they, if they're caught, they get punished. And people, that's justice. How does that fit into... I mean, if...
There's a difference between for you forgiving somebody mm-hmm. and social justice. If somebody...
So it's a matter of forgiving them, not necessarily they shouldn't suffer the consequences of their own actions.
Society has to be protected. That's also part of your... if somebody does something to me that just because I'm a Methodist, let's say they trash my car and beat me with a stick. So I have all these things. I could, you know, honestly, I could honestly let that go. But still, I have an obligation to society to tell the truth of what happened and to try to protect everybody else from this happening again. If it's just me and it's just a personal thing, that I can let go. As a cop, there was a whole lot of stuff I could have charged that would happen to me. I could have charged resisting arrest a bunch of times that I didn't because that involves just me. That doesn't involve what they did to somebody else. That doesn't involve a danger to somebody else. That involved what happened between me and them. I read the situation. I see why they did what they did. I think it through. And I had no problem at all with not charging it. And not charging it is the same as dropping it. You know, it was never there to be dropped. But I realized that I have an obligation, though. If this is someone who will do this again, then I have to. Because I don't want the next officer to face something because I didn't do what was mine to do. So let's go back to it. Wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. You have to be both. There are none that I regret as I look back. I mean, it was a person who, through a greatly emotional instance that was happening, you could see why they were acting like it. You can't approve of it, but you can understand why they were like they were. If they were intoxicated, I generally did not, and they were not a violent person in their history, and they wrestled with me or fought with me, I may have charged it, but I'll drop it, you know, just because they're drunk, and you know what I mean? But there is a responsibility, especially as a police officer, there is a responsibility to do what needs to be done to protect society. And I never forgot that. I wasn't just willy-nilly, just, you know, dropping charges. You know, but anything that involved me, I thought it through. And
I didn't realize how natural it is for when somebody restrains you to resist.
Oh, yeah.
That is just, like, real natural. If it's never happened to you.
It is.
It just is. Until I figured... See, I had that happen to me.
It's not cognitive. You just do it.
Yeah, you just automatically resist. And then you have to come around and go, no, you know, this is what they're supposed to
do. Well, if you get somebody who was just in a fight, and I'm there to arrest them because they were in a fight, they're still...
Their adrenaline only happens in heated situations. You don't go...
Their adrenaline is running the show. And testosterone, adrenaline, all that stuff. And I try to be a little more lenient, but there comes time when you got to do what you got to do. But that speaks to this. You know, you always have a choice of how to react mm-hmm. and what to do. And you have to answer that question yourself. Do I need to address this? Yes, you can forgive them. And the most important thing, honestly, is that nothing stands between them and God because of you. Because Jesus Christ did that for me. I need, and that is real. That is tangible. And there will be a day when that will matter more than any charge, anything that you could ever bring before courts. When you're standing before God and it's not something that comes up because you let it go. They're really going to appreciate you. If they never do, they will then. There is a responsibility socially, but the spiritual responsibility, and that social responsibility is yours to figure out, you know, am I helping or hurting society here? But as far as the spiritual part and forgiving, you can forgive them and still follow through and go testify and do everything you need to do. Without any malice, without any anger, without anything. Just, hey, this is what happened. Society, do what you got to do. You know, because society is owed. There is the point where you're owed, and you can handle that, but society is owed justice. And
you don't want them doing it.
Anymore. Right. If me saying I don't want to file charges allows that person to go out and hurt somebody else, then who did you help?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, and also, there is such a thing as pearls among swine. You know, that it's not going to help anything. There's somebody, they are that way because they keep getting breaks, and the breaks didn't help. You can only do what you know, and you don't know all that. So make your choice, make it for the right reasons, and be at peace. Verse 23, and while being reviled, Jesus, he did not revile in return, and boy, could he revile in return if he wished to.
Oh, yeah.
While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. He entrusted himself, which is what we're to do, regarding what's happening to me, I trust your judgment. What he's saying is, I trust you'll handle this the best way possible for me, for them, for your own sense of justice, because God's sense of justice absolutely has to be answered to. If it didn't have to be answered to, Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to die. But it is absolutely has to be answered to. There's no way his justice, in one way or another, doesn't get answered to. Luke 6:27-36. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Let that sink in. You know, and when you do it, there is a freedom. There is a burden that lifts off of you that is just spectacular.
And they think you're weird.
Oh, yeah, but you don't care because you feel so good. You feel like you've won. You know, and everybody else is looking at you like you're losing, but yes, you did win. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. That one, pray for those who mistreat you. When people ask me, how do I do that? How do I know if I'm forgiving them? How do I know if I'm, you know, if, am I just mouthing the words, Lord, bless them? If you sincerely pray for them, you know. If you're not sincerely praying for them, you know. To me, well, for me, I'll just say for me, that is how I always know whether I'm obeying Scripture in an anecdotal way. Well, it says to do it, so I'll say, Lord, please bless this person who's messing with me. But in my heart, you know, I just mouth the words. But
you
if I'm really... Right. I'm annoying.
No.
What?
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Really?
Keep putting it up there.
Oh, is that
keep
what you
putting
do?
It up. Keep putting it up.
And if you're doing it out of... There is a thing. I see what you're saying. If you're doing it out of faith, Lord, you told me to do this, and I'm really going to try to do it. I'm going to throw it out there.
Okay.
But if I just... But if
not having the conversation with...
If I'm doing it to just make the guilt go away, I'm not sure. But all of it is a learning process. All of it.
Well, he won't let the guilt go away.
Nope.
So
when it's real, it'll take root. But until
Amen. That just, piece that I told you about,
it's the song.
That's how
he
you
just
know.
Just once you're talking to him. Yeah. Until he gets to do
it. Yeah, when
does.
The conversation gets between you and him, then it gets to be a real conversation and things
even
change.
That, have you, sorry.
No, go
back
ahead.
Into prayer. Have you ever prayed angry? Try it.
Yeah, I think I have. But
because
I
if there's one
was...
person in the universe that can take an angry prayer, it's
yeah.
Try it.
And there's also a great lesson in and of yourself after you pray to him angry.
Yeah.
There's that moment of, I just prayed angry. And then God just comes and deals with you. But if you wouldn't have prayed angry, you wouldn't have that moment. Yeah. And God, you're right. God says, bring it to me.
I'm never angry at the end of those prayers.
It's kind of neat.
It can start off very angry, and then it's like I realize so many things during that prayer that at the end of it's like, okay, I start off angry, but that's clearly not the route or where I should be going.
Well, you know, I was angry till I walked down the street in a thunderstorm. I was like, oh, sorry, God.
Please don't strike me.
Smote somebody else.
Right, yeah.
Pray for those who mistreat you is a, boy, there's a freedom in that. And that's, for me, that has always been, that's how you know when you mean it.
So what about when you're praying and you really don't want to be, but you're doing it out of obedience?
Obedience always gets a response. If you're talking to God, you're talking to the right person. If you're talking to him the wrong way, he'll let you know. But if you're not talking to him and you're handling this, here's what happens. If you don't do that, much like she was told to bring it out, to deal with it, praying is dealing with it. If not, you leave it up here and you leave it to your own and your flesh starts to talk to you. And I don't want to go there because once my flesh starts talking to me, then I start thinking about getting even. Or going beyond even, and doing things where my flesh wins, but the kingdom loses. And I'm showing them me, how tough I can be, how smart I can be. I'm showing them not to mess with me. I'm showing them all this stuff. And I got pretty good at that. But boy, is that hollow. That just goes nowhere. That is...
Well, what if it doesn't belong to anybody? I mean, it's just kind of...
honestly...
The irritability is like...
You know, I would really... that's got to be just... Right. There's
I don't even know what to pray.
Two things. Lord, show me if there's something that's making me this way. Show me what it is. If there's something I need to deal with that I'm being convicted over that I'm just refusing to look at, show me. And if this bothers you enough, you'll mean that prayer. And also, it could just be physiological, kiddo. And, I mean, that is something that, you know, and if it's not that, Lord, heal me. Get me what I need, you know.
Well, as far as I
and
know,
and it's frustrating.
Nothing's going on at the moment. But,
right.
You know.
That stuff comes from deeper inside than I can go. I know when to shut up, and that's, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. He goes on, and he gives you practical examples of what he's talking about. Whoever hits you in the cheek, offer him the other also.
Yeah.
And whoever takes away your coat. Do not withhold your shirt from him either.
Well, only if you're female.
Well, yeah, there's the, you can end up in the pokey. Yeah. I'm being spiritual, officer.
I'm just imagining what would happen if a guy was like, get undressed, try to rape me. Oh, yeah, let me help you. And he'd be like, that's not the response I was looking for.
Give to everyone who asked you. To everyone who asked you. And whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. There are...
I'm not sure.
There, oh, no, this,
I mean,
this is broad. This is broad. When a alcoholic or a drug addict comes up and asks you, and I've had to learn this lesson, comes up and asks you for, hey, could I have $20? I got it, and I know what I'm giving them $20 for. I won't give it to them because I'm hurting them. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I mean, if I don't know, then my responsibility is to adhere to this. But when I do know, I'm responsible for what I know. I have a responsibility to the knowledge I have. And I also have a responsibility of, well, do no harm. And
It's those times where they ask for 20, you say, I'm not giving you 20, but I'll buy you a meal.
Absolutely.
And some of them are like, no.
That doesn't work.
And then they
either.
Get mad at you and walk away.
Well, then you know. Even buying them a meal.
I was in a restaurant. I couldn't afford a meal. All I had was a soda. And somebody came in and they bought these two people who are always panhandling, both of them a meal, $15 each. Plus drinks. I mean, there's a point where, the bleeding heart liberals get on my nerves sometimes.
Well, here's what God's saying is, if you don't care, it'll get on my nerves, and you don't want to be on God's nerves.
Well, it's not that they don't care, but these people abuse that kind of
thing. What it's saying is, it doesn't matter.
Really?
It says, give to everyone who asks, and whoever takes... Give and take are both in there. Away what is yours, do not demand it back. Here's the caveat of our life. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you.
You know what it does.
Not a suggestion.
It never comes back.
It doesn't matter.
Well, you know what?
Don't look for it to come back. Don't expect it. What he's saying is, well, no, not here.
He doesn't say it.
He never says it. When did it come back to him? You know what he got out of this? You.
Me.
That's what he got out of everything he gave. Well, yeah. See, that's my point. What you're gaining, do not look for earthly treasures. Store up your treasures in heaven.
So are you saying when I walk down Murray Avenue and there's 6 or 7 different panhandlers, I have to give to all of them?
I would answer to your heart.
You need to use your judgment on that one.
I would say the world would be a better place if you stopped at the first one and they were open to an interaction or something.
I'll let the Spirit of God talk to you about that one, dear.
And if it wasn't just you, it was all of us.
All I'm telling you is you read, these are the words of Jesus Christ. Yeah. You hear what they say. Judge them for yourself.
I'm not walking down Maria.
Right. That solves your problem. Let me get through this.
Okay.
For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? What he's saying is, you're getting something out of this. Even as you're giving, you're getting. For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. And that's not even talking about interest, which you go into the Old Testament, that's an absolute no-no between Israel, Israel and Israel. Don't ever do that.
Where do you draw the line between that and the throwing pearls for swine line?
Excellent point.
One ends.
Be wise as a serpent. Be gentle as a dove.
Holy Spirit, that's a really holy.
Amen.
Case.
It's a case by case.
You gotta
you
go.
You judge it case by case.
You
and
don't
try
even
to just
judge
do,
it case by case.
No.
Honestly,
but every
goodness,
day
you gotta
they
give
want
that
another quarter.
There have been times. Yes.
Yeah, but then should you keep letting people? Like, let's say somebody keeps asking you for money, and then they go spend it on things they shouldn't or whatever. Should you just keep on?
Then you're. There is a responsibility for that too. You're responsible for
what
you know.
You need to have some responsibility in the whole thing.
Why is this serpent?
When you find out money isn't helping, it's on you to figure out if there's some other way you can help.
Yeah.
Or if it's on you to stop. Yeah.
But it's not because.
If you're.
Are you hurting them?
You should just aimlessly hand out.
Are you hurting them? But see, that motive, it's not just because I don't want to give you money that you're not doing. It's because I don't want to hurt you.
Yeah.
And that is, boy, there's a world of difference between those two things.
See, those people, they do that because it's profitable.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
it's not saying that doesn't do that.
That's where it goes back to that part of earlier where it literally says, this is in God's hands. So I'm just going to leave it where it belongs.
So they think they get over. So what? They got over on you. So what?
But then
big deal.
There are people who I don't know what words to use. Like if they're predators, so all kinds of different kinds. Should you just let them prey on you?
No.
That's you can't do that. I
no.
wouldn't think that is what God.
Yeah, and all I think common sense has a lot to do with this, and I think what you know also has a lot to do with this. But that I've said here takes away these words.
Well, what if
nothing?
What if I know they get the same check I do, but they're doing this because it's profitable?
If there's anger in your heart when you're not doing it, then, or if there's contempt,
there
would be anger in my heart if I did it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what has to be dealt with. Jesus, what Jesus is saying is get rid of that. And then let wisdom rule.
Oh, I talk to them, but I will not give them anything.
Yeah, but if the reason you're doing this is anger or spite or resentment or anything, that needs to be dealt with. Because their soul, what this is basically saying is their soul is more valuable than any of your feelings being hurt or any injustice that you're facing. Because that's what we're talking about here is injustice. You're bringing up an injustice. You're bringing up an injustice. And what Jesus is saying is these injustices mean nothing. You do what I tell you to do, and I'll handle the situation. You either believe it or you don't. And it's hard. Oh my, is it hard?
You're telling me I ought to dump all my
no,
money.
No, I'm not telling you anything. I'm telling you what this says,
said the
and then
word
you
money
judge.
Once.
Yeah, yeah. This
I'm
is.
I'm not saying money. I'm saying as yourself. I'm saying
yes.
When you look at that person, and if you think a dollar would help that person, then it is. If
I
you feel that in your heart, that's
well,
up to the
game. Here's how this. Let me read this because this is how it wraps up.
I don't think it would. It perpetuates
right.
them.
Well, if that's your reason, that's different.
Doing it.
That if that's your reason, that's different. And here's how he wrote. Jesus Christ wraps up his own argument this way. So let's hear what he says. But love your enemies. Do what you do out of love, not out of resentment, not out of anger, not out of dislike. And do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. It's not saying you're not going to get it. It's just don't expect it. And here's what you get out of this. Your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. When you do what he does, you are his sons.
It says something about, what was in the Bible? It says something about giving, if you're giving it to them, you're giving it to me.
Yep. For he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. So what how Jesus ends this is saying, argue all you want, but haven't I done this for you? What it is an acknowledgement of what Jesus Christ has done for you. You could call everything that Jesus did for me foolish on a personal level. You could say, why in the world would he ever do that for someone who, even after he saves me, is still not going to obey him all the time, is still going to embarrass him, is still going to do things I shouldn't have done, and yet he did it anyway. So if I'm going to accept that, then I have an obligation, what he's saying is, to be like me, to be my sons. And you can only be my sons if you act like me. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. What it requires is mercy. Mercy is not stupid. Stupidity and mercy are not the same thing. Mercy is caring enough to do something. Not just feeling bad, but giving the power you have, whatever that is, using the power you have, just like God used the power he had, and do it exactly as he did it for you. Whatever that is. If you don't have the money, you can't give the money. You know, there is a way of giving that is surely lined out in Scripture that is crystal clear. Family, the church, you know, and the world, but it's always take care of you and yours. I gave you money to take care of you and yours. That is an absolute. If you hear the voice of God telling you something different, then it's the voice of God. But in general, without hearing the voice of God telling you to do something, that is what you do. He said, a person who does not take care of his own is worse than a heathen. Scripture says that plainly. So, me giving away everything that we have so that my family doesn't eat does not really please the Lord unless the Lord shows up and says, give away everything you have. And then I have to go on faith and hope that Cheryl has the exact same faith. honestly. But
imagine
there,
her. You did what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's her. She would be.
Can you imagine that?
No, she wouldn't say that. She just wouldn't. She'd say, okay.
Yeah.
Honestly. But we could see how challenging this is, can we not? Because this goes against everything inside of my flesh. My flesh does not work this way. the world did not teach me this. The world taught me the exact opposite. So,
yeah, you slap my face, I'll slap yours.
Yeah, if this does not challenge you, you are either a purely sanctified saint or you didn't read it right. and I don't believe in I'm saying it could happen. A person can be completely sanctified here because God can do anything. I've never seen it, nor have I ever heard of it. But, yeah, this is meant to challenge us to the core. And that's what Peter is writing, because people are being mean to you. They are being nasty. They are trying to destroy you, and he's saying, love them.
What if it's your own family?
No, it doesn't matter.
I mean,
doesn't matter.
Yeah, but it means, you know, the problem being that my sister won't even talk to me. She won't even communicate at all. I mean,
then do what you can do. Well, don't worry about
it. I guess all I can do
love
is
her more.
Pray. You know.
Absolutely. If you could pray for her with unresentment resentment in your heart and ask God to bless her.
I don't even know what I did.
No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Ask God to bless her. And say, Father, and I would pray, Lord, whatever bless my sister. Just reach into her life, bring her peace. And if whatever I did, if I need to show it to me, I want to know, Lord, so I can deal with it, so I can repent from it if I did something wrong. And God will honor that. He really will.
I have a feeling it's childhood stuff.
It could be.
I don't know what he did.
It doesn't matter. These things stick.
Anything you did, I know Laura, who you've met, has a sister who just hates her for nothing she ever did.
Yeah.
And she is at the same spot of just trying to pray every day for her.
And then you go live your life, honestly. You live your life in peace and let it be there. Well, let's pray.
Okay.
Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. Let it seek deep into our hearts and just pierce through to bone and marrow. Separate the flesh from our spirit and just don't let it be filtered through the flesh. Just do not let your word be altered or filtered by our flesh. Let it be pure, right, it straight, mainlined, right into the veins of our souls. And let your word change us, Father, so that this world doesn't see us, it sees you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.